Speaker. And very few people could claim the name front row for their business. Frankie has, and nobody's going to challenge him on that. Frankie.
Thank you very much, Connor. Have we any Munster supporters here for a start? Good stuff. Excellent, excellent. Delighted to hear that, Dom. When I was first asked by Dan Burns to do a 10-minute speech here, I said to Dan, I said, look, Dan, what way is this going to go? You know, can I throw in a few jokes here and there? He said, Frankie, you can throw in whatever you want, but you throw it straight. So I'm under a small bit of pressure there from that respect. But we were talking earlier, and the Lord Mayor was mentioning about being from Cork, and I love being from Cork. I spend a lot of time in Dublin and the UK and so forth, but it is great to come back to Cork, and the old Corkisms, of course. I spent 3 years up in UCC, I got my degree, thanks be to God, but we used to go into town every so often to get our hair cut, and of course we'd go in and there was a girl inside in the barber shop, and in order to suss out what she was going to charge you afterwards, she'd turn around to you and say, are you in the college here? Are you working? So you turn around and say, well, I'm actually in the college, you know. And she'd say, what are you doing up in the college? Well, I'm actually doing arts in college, you know. Oh, but man, you're good at the odd drawing, so she'd say. And do you know something? You sort of just let her go with it anyway, because that was the main part. But being from Cork, and, you know, I'd like to congratulate everybody who's here at the moment, because I think it's a fantastic initiative, and all the previous speakers and all the people who helped put this together, I just want to get a bit of a clap for all those people. So when I was asked what I would speak about, I mean, you've heard from some brilliant speakers today, and these are people who have done it all, and I decided I wanted to do something slightly different. We all know about all the external factors out there that are not in our control, but there are certain things that are in our control, and they're the things that we should be putting the energy towards. So my talk today is succeeding in challenging times, and with three things in mind: positive mental attitude, setting the goals, and constant improvement. So just to go back to 2002, we all have a lot of disappointments. Everybody from day to day gets a lot of disappointments. In 2002, Munster lost. We lost our third final in 3 years to Leicester in the Heineken Cup. And, you know, without going into the whole thing about it, we were absolutely distraught at the time. And this happens to people all the time. How do you handle disappointments? We were, personally, I was very, very upset about the whole thing. The team were distraught. We were told we were chokers and we couldn't handle the big day. And you know something, we couldn't really argue with it, looking back at it. We had bottled it a bit on a couple of occasions. So what a lot of people try and do at times like that is put it behind them immediately and get on with it without dealing with it. Declan Kidney, who was our coach at the time, I remember he came to me and he noticed how bad I was, and he advised me to go to the sports psychologist, which I did. Now, I went along to him, I explained the story to the sports psychologist, and he turned around and said, Frankie, why don't you use the 10-yard rule? And I said to him, Declan, what is the 10-yard rule? And he said, well, Frankie, when Tiger Woods hits a bad shot, contrary to opinion that he moves on immediately from it, he doesn't. He allows himself the time between putting the club back in his bag, walking the next 10 yards, but once he passes by that 10 yards, well, he moves on from them. And you know something, it was probably the best bit of advice I ever got, not just for dealing with that rugby side and the disappointment, but also I think everybody here from day to day, we get a bit of a setback. We set our targets and goals and in our returns in business and all that sort. And it's been very, very useful to me in life in general. So the second part actually is in the positive mental attitude of this. And I heard John Mullins mentioning Thomas Edison earlier as well, that when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb after 2,000 attempts, he was asked by a reporter, he said, how did you keep going after failing 1,999 times? And Thomas Edison turned around and said, I didn't fail once. Inventing the light bulb was a 2,000-step process. So it's all about our own mindset, and it's bringing it back to the individual. How do you handle these things? Which brings me into my next part of it. Be careful of the monsters in your head. We We've all been there. Hands up here who doesn't get the monsters in their head telling you how bad you are. I mean, everybody gets it from time to time. No matter, I mean, the most successful business people that are here today will get those monsters in their head, right? And it's a case of how to deal with them. Because if you can control your thoughts, you can control your mind. If you can control your mind, you can control your life. And if you can control your life, you're the master of your own destiny. Now, I took that as a quote from a book. So a lot of the stuff I'm telling you is my experience, but it's stuff I've read and seen before as well. But it is absolutely crucial. Who cares what's going on in the news? Yeah, you have to keep an eye on it, but you don't have to be inundated by it. But you have control over what goes through your head. And it's a case of spending a few minutes every day. I know I try and keep on top of it. If you want to get fit, you go to the gym. You get on the treadmill and you do your stuff and you do your sweating. But not enough do we, I think, as individuals, go out and challenge ourselves to actually, be positive and keep away those negative things. I mean, just hearing Kevin there earlier talking about how he went out and just drove things on in different countries when, you know, a bit of ignorance was no harm, but I mean, maybe if he knew more, he could have talked himself into, not succeeding as much as he could. So you're talking about the devils in your shoulder. There's a lot of devils here on my shoulder in this picture. You don't have to be a lip reader, I think, to see what Alan Quinlan is trying to say to me there behind me. But again, I just want to play a little clip now on the back of this, right? In the type of individual responsibility, because we can't control what everyone else is doing. So I'm just going to play this clip and we'll talk about it after. Is that going to play now?
Here, as Munster looks to try and bring it now, there's an opportunity if they can move it quickly here. Towards Dennis Leamy. Dennis Leamy reverses his way towards the 22. Chance here for O'Gara. O'Gara now, what if he backs himself? Lets it available here. High enough on challenge and being the play, but he fell into it. Munster now look to try and take control of it. O'Gara standing on the 10 metre line. Back with Dennis Leamy. O'Gara calling for the ball. Dennis Leamy tries to get it in. Back towards O'Gara. The attempt to drop goal. Outside the 22. Towards the post. O'Gara, what the drop of goal? It's gone between the posts. Mellon O'Gara between the posts. After about 145 points, O'Gara between the posts. The referee had blown the full-time whistle. Northampton had been absolutely kicked. Where is her goal? Munster at the dead 100 after 8. Munster at the...
I don't know what I enjoy more there, the drop goal or Michael Corcoran's commentary. It was absolutely fantastic. But I guess the reason I played that, right, that was a game last year, I think a lot of you here would probably remember, and it was after 41 phases of play, the last play of the game, right, and the point I'm trying to get there, right, is that you couldn't think of the overall outcome. People weren't concentrating on that. There was 15 players on that field, and they all had to look after their individual goal. They couldn't control the outcome, they couldn't even control the drop goal, and that was important about that, and it showed that by individuals doing everything that they can do, how that can help to achieve a common goal. Now, that's lead me into my second one, which is setting goals, right? Without goals and plans to reach them, you're like a ship that has set sail with no destination. And I know a lot of you have already heard this, but this man here in the picture, J.P. McManus, I had a talk with him there last year in UCC, and it was one of the first things he said. He said, I don't care who you are, if you're a millionaire, if you're in public sector, you know, you're a private sector, you're a student, everybody should take 5 minutes at the start of the day to just plan out what you want to achieve in that particular day. Because by setting realistic and measurable goals, this, which is, will answer the $60 million question, this activates motivation. There's no doubt about it. This here might be a bit hard to see, right? Forgive me the quality of it. You have, on the left-hand side, you have, if this would have been used in performance matrix for rugby players. Okay, on the left-hand side, you have players' names. On the top end, you have all the different areas of the game. How many tries, how many carries, how many defense, right? So the way this would work is that if Frankie Sheehan goes out and he has 5 tackles on this Saturday against Leinster, well, then you meet your defense coach, and by doing your individual goals for the following week, you do your collective goals, you would now set a goal of 6 tackles. So what does that do? That motivates me. That motivates me to work a bit harder, you know, get into the gym a bit more, move around and hunt for tackles. And then, of course, you bring this into the collective and you do a collective goal setting as well with this. So very, very powerful in that. The next one is the constant improvement. And of course, by virtue of the name Cork Innovates, that's exactly what we're trying to do here. Is, you know, today's giants will become tomorrow's dinosaurs unless they respond for a need to change. And we've all seen it. And that's not just change for change's sake, by the way. I mean, there are certain things that it is still the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do 100 years ago. It's still the right thing to do today. But we need to be constantly challenging ourselves. Even within our business, I mean, when we started off 3.5 years ago, we didn't have the marketing budgets that other companies had. So we had to look outside the box and we had to find different ways using social media and all different ways to try and maximize that. So it can be done. And it's a case of constantly looking to do that. Kaizen is the business term for this. I'm sure you've all heard of this term. And of course, one of our little cartoon characters there, just showing how simple things can make life a lot easier for you. This is another video clip, and I suppose what I'm trying to do by playing this right is, again, you could talk about so many things within this video clip. You can talk about leadership, you can talk about integrity, individual responsibility, all sorts of targets. I just want to play it for a few minutes and just you take what you want out of it at the end of it. Take your time, there's no pressure.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes to the biggest battle of our professional lives. All comes down to today. And either we heal as a team, or we're going to crumble. Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. 1 inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I look around, I see these young faces, and I think, I mean, I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. I pissed away all my money, believe it or not. I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in a mirror. You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's a game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, 1/2 a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. 1/2 second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that inch. And I know if I'm not going to be life, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that itch with you. You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're gonna do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen. And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is.
That clip in itself, I mean, you can take that apart. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant, but I just wanted to throw it in. It might give somebody a small bit of a lift or so forth, but I think it's an incredible piece, and it's very, very powerful. What do Front Row do? I have to get my own plug in because, you know, being an individual and starting my own company, I'm here free gratis, so I said I have to get something out of it. I'm hoping some of you guys down below here will maybe give us a bit of business along the way, and I'm, you know, shameless in asking, so that's it. So we have a Front Row Speakers site where we source speakers for events, for product launches, awareness campaigns, whatever you're looking for, we get them for you. This is just an example of one we did with Bobby Kerr. I'm happy that Gavin Duffy is gone because I don't think he would have been too happy. This is with StrengthCon, done a couple of weeks ago. This is the nicer side of the job here, drinking a couple of pints of Guinness and so-called working. This is the sports management side of it. So we represent guys individually in sports management. Peter O'Mahony be one of our guys. David Wallace, there's Kieran Behan. Young Dave Kilcoyne just made the breakthrough there recently for Ireland, so delighted to match those guys up then with, you know, Peter just did something with Adidas there as well, so that's great. We've the marketing side as well, so we look to try and overlap a lot of the sides of the business and connect the brands with audiences and events. Just another example there of some of the stuff, and that was on last week. And basically this is my media career then, of course, talking about rugby. It's a lot easier talking about it than actually doing it. And I'd obviously got the opportunity to work with Mr. George Hook there recently. Do you all know George Hook? Yeah, most people seem to know George. So actually the first game I did with George, it was down here in Cork, and we were George very kindly said, Frankie, will I bring you for your drink afterwards? So I said, grand, no problem at all. And two of us walked away into the bar afterwards, and as we walked in anyway, these two young girls came up to us, and you know, typical brave young Cork girl, not a bit embarrassed, says, come here by Frankie, boy, look at the size of you, you're massive, she says to me. I said, oh, thanks very much, great, I was all flattered, you know. But come here, says the other one, are you built in proportion? And I said, afraid not. If I was, I'd be 7'2". And of course, the girl started laughing, and George started laughing, and one of the other girls turned around and said, George, I don't know what you're laughing at. If you were built in proportion, you'd be a dwarf. So anyway, that's my media career. We have some good times with that. We do some work with RT and Sky Sports and so forth. So look, just a summary. I know a lot of you are anxious to go. Succeeding in challenging times, what we as individuals can do with a positive mental attitude, if you remember handling the disappointments, the Thomas Edison, I suppose, how do you handle that adversity and your whole frame of mind, you have the setting goals and the constant improvement. So, I mean, I've really enjoyed actually sharing this day. I think it's been great. I'm looking forward to bigger and better things going forward. I'm going to be around for another while anyway, if anybody wants to come up and talk to me after. And look, I'd just like to wish you all, individually and collectively, the very best of luck going forward. Thank you very much.